Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on, let me get my music on. Oh, Jesus, I turn on the phone. Good evening, good evening. This is Faith for Family. This is Apostle Crystal Lee live right now. Faith for Family broadcasting. We're presenting tonight about that life. We're still in that series, and tonight's topic is Raising Cain. This topic is a really serious topic to me, and it was really a burden for me today, and so I want to do my best to share as much of it as I can tonight before we get out for the broadcast. But let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for this time that you've given us. I pray that you would touch my lips, that you would touch my heart, touch my mind, and till the minds and the hearts of the people, that they would be able to hear and to receive the word that's being spoken tonight, that it would impact us in a way that changes and brings transformation to our households, to our family lives, in the name of the Lord, that we begin to be the exemplification in the earth that you desire. Your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's our desire today. And so we pray tonight that that would be the impact that's made, the influence that we receive tonight because of the word that is shared. And we thank you tonight in the name of the Lord. We give you praise and honor and glory. Amen. Faith for Family is what we do every Friday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right now, and so we don't have a whole lot of time, so I want to jump right into the topic tonight. As I was kind of mulling around today and going through my day-to-day, this topic came up, and the topic Raising Cain, and the Holy Spirit began to talk to me about disarming digital devils. Well, okay, where does that come from, Apostle Lee? Well, it's got so much to do with the age that we're living in and the young people that are being raised in this digital age. I had a conversation with the youth, maybe not this month, but last month's broadcast, and I began to share some things because I really believe that the adversary's whole objective is to steal the dreams of young people, to steal their identity, is to steal their dreams, is to steal their focus. And as parents, it's our responsibility to raise our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to tell you by any means or by any stretch of the imagination that any of us have gotten it all right. We've all made some really deep blunders in our lives. But one of the things I was most certain of in my life, in my rearing of my children, was raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I may have had some other things off balance, but I could only do what I was taught. And I'm encouraging you tonight to hear this word of the Lord, that it might shift you, that it might bring transformation to your household because of what's spoken tonight. Faith for Family is bringing family into kingdom lifestyle through the word of God. And we want to do that in power and in demonstration. We want to promote healing and deliverance for your family, because I believe family is a gift from God, and he's serious about family. He's serious about how that's supposed to look, and we have to begin to take the things that are serious to God as serious as he takes them, and I believe that's when we're going to really find the success that we're looking for. In this month of August, there are a lot of things going on, but I believe that this is a season of now, and we need to make some transformations. We need to make some shifts now. Just like the blessing of the Lord is coming upon us now, there are some transitions and some changes that need to be made right now. As I was out today exercising with my uncle, you know, we went and ran on the track, and then we went and played tennis, and we had a great time. But I noticed when I came back, because I haven't played tennis. I'm not a tennis player, but I went out there and I played it before. My mother was trying to explain to me that I played it before. Don't quite remember that. I remembered having a desire to go out there, but my uncle was teaching me today how to play tennis. And so as I was out there, when I came in, I noticed that my body was doing some different things. Well, I was using muscles that I had not used before, and so it was making me think about all the things that the Holy Spirit was talking to me about. I know you're wondering what that has to do with anything. Well, the things that we exercise, the way that we condition, the things that we train are the things that are going to be impacted. And so because I was out there training in a different way, I was doing something different. I was utilizing muscles that I don't use on a regular basis in that way. And so my body was impacted by that. I'm not in any bad condition or anything, but I do recognize that I've been training today. I do recognize that I have been in the process of conditioning some things. So now I've got to keep this momentum going. And it's important that we train. The Bible says this about children. While we're talking about raising Cain and disarming digital devils tonight, the Bible says this in Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This word training denotes that there has to be a participation on the part of those that are involved with the child to make sure that the child has the direction that they need, that they have all that they need to go in the proper direction that they need for life. Because if they are trained in that way, then no matter what comes to get them off course, no matter what happens in their life, they will always return back to their training. They will always return back. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. They will always return back, which is why the foundation of the word is so imperative. It's so important. And we live in this digital age. We live in this age of digital devils. And why am I saying that? The old folks used to really make a big deal about television and say that television was the devil. Well, I'm not exactly saying that. But what I do want you to realize is that the television is for programming. And so programming is a specific thing that is done to take the mind, to condition the mind for a specific course, a specific thing. And so when we set our children in front of programming we're not conscious of what they're being programmed to do, then when they come up with all of these isms and schisms, then we have issues with that. And we're not understanding what we're dealing with. It's so much out there. I mean, I was really particular when my children were growing up. I missed some things. I didn't understand the subliminal part as much as I understood the very direct part. And I was telling somebody today as I was laughing about this, this was digital for us back in the day, television. And so now we've got computers and now we've got tablets and we've got cell phones and the kids have all of this. And they have access to all of this without parental supervision and all of that. So they're just, you know, they're just out there. They're just out there in them streets. They're just doing what they want to do. And they're receiving. Their eye gates are open. Their ear gates are open. And they are receiving of these things. The training that they're getting is not necessarily the training that should be offered to them based on who they were born to be. And so we've come away from this in this day and age as far as parenting is concerned about identifying who our children are and rearing them up in that way, giving them the necessary tools to become who we know they are and putting them in environments where they can operate and move and function in those capacities. We've gotten away from that, and now television and iPads and Kindles and all these other things are raising our children, and they're getting major doses of things that don't have anything to do with the kingdom of God. They don't have any knowledge of who God is, no knowledge of who he is and what he has desired for them to be and who he's desired for them to be. So what do? They gravitate towards superheroes. They gravitate towards all of these things that they are not, and they create these imaginary worlds based off of stuff that's not even a reality. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so we want to talk about raising Cain a little bit tonight. I want to say this. Last week we talked about relational vision. And why relational vision is so important is because who we connect to is going to determine who our children are going to be. Who we connect to is going to determine the battle that we have where it pertains to our children. Now, I understand a lot of us have connected in ignorance. We didn't quite know the things that we should have done or how we should have carried that out. And in our ignorance, we made some bad connections, some ungodly connections, and that caused some issues in our family. But God is a restorer. We get that. But what I'm concerned about in this day and age is the young people that are coming up now that are making these same terrible decisions, and they have other people in their life to tell them, this is not the direction, this is not the way. And instead of hearing the voice of those that are wiser than them, instead of hearing the voice of those that have gone before them, that have already failed, that have already missed the mark, that God is already restored and now they are understanding where they erred and all of that. They want to do it their way, and it's a scary place, especially when you have a family, especially when you have grandkids, especially when you have all of this and you've already seen this cycle already and you're looking at it repetitively over and over again. It's a scary place to be. But can I tell you something? Your prayer life, your worship, and all of that is going to matter in this season. I know people may not understand, you know, the extent that you go to and the things that you do, but you're going to have to keep those things intact because we need to understand that God deals with our seed as we deal with him. And just like David was dealt with or Solomon's son, Solomon, David's son, Solomon was dealt with by God because of the worship, because of the relationship dynamics that David had with God. His children were dealt with a specific way. And so Samuel was favored by God because of the worship, because of his relationship with his father. And so we've got to keep that intact. So I want to say this. It's important that we recognize in Genesis chapter 4 that the discussion about Cain and Abel began. And so when we're talking about raising Cain, we need to understand that Cain was the son that killed Abel. Now, I want to make this plain, because when we start talking about raising Cain, we're talking about an illegitimate son. Cain is not even in the lineage of Adam. He's not there because he's not Adam's son. Now, I know that they were twins, and a lot of people don't talk about this. Abel was born first, and then Cain was born right after him, and a lot of people don't teach that they were twins. Hey, son. A lot of people don't teach that they were twins. However, the issue here is, and I've talked about this on the broadcast before on Faith for Family, how it is quite possible for a woman to be engaged in a pregnancy or have a seed in her and have an intercourse or an intimacy with another man and that seed be embedded or implanted in her as well. We need to understand as well that the dynamics of that happening, that the spirit of that thing is not only transferred, but there have been literal times when twins came out and they did not look anything like each other. As a matter of fact, when tests were done or run, the two children had different fathers, and that's quite possible, which is the case here. And I don't want to get too deep off into that, because then we'll have to go all the way back to what happened with the persuasion of the serpent, what happened between him and Eve. That's a whole nother subject. Okay. But at the end of the day, we recognize that Cain is not even in the lineage of Adam. As a matter of fact, the reason why Abel is not is because Abel is dead, but it goes from Adam to Seth. When you are looking in the scripture at First Chronicles, it goes from Adam to Seth. When you're looking in Genesis 5, it goes from Adam to Seth. It does not include Cain at all. And so we need to understand that training that's given will be followed. We recognize that Proverbs 22 offers a lot of information about how to raise children, about the importance of what needs to be put in them. We usually go to train up a child in the way that he should go, and we understand that training will be followed. But we need to identify verse 15 in chapter 22 of Proverbs that says, "Foolishness is bound in the height of a child, in the heart of a child." And it's highlighted, you need to understand that it's being highlighted in this season by all of the freedom that we give them without supervision. Foolishness is an automatic for a child, is what they come here with. And it's the thing that they have to be trained out of. It's the thing that they have to be conditioned out of. Just as a person who is interested in losing weight or changing their lifestyle or changing the structure of who they are physically, their physicality has to be changed. But the only way for them to do that is for them to train. So it can be done. But the question is, are they willing to do and take the measures that need to be taken in order for that transition or that transformation to happen? But it's going to take actual work. And so it's the same thing with children, because foolishness is bound in their heart. It's automatic. They come here with that, and we've got to deal with that by the rod of correction. Now, the scripture talks about the rod of correction, and we recognize that that rod, when we talked about this on the prophetic roundtable a lot, and I've given you guys the insight about the rod being the authority of the rod of correction, the authority of correction. Well, here's the thing about authority. You don't have authority to correct if you're not walking in the correction yourself. You don't really have the authority to share if you're not carrying the stick. You know what I'm saying? And so that rod of correction is pertinent, and you cannot be afraid to do the correction, because if you don't do the correction, it's like you don't love. I hear a lot of people talk about love, but people don't really understand what love is, because if you're not willing to take the measures to bring correction where you love, then you're more concerned about how people are going to feel and how people are going to respond, then that's not love at all. I'm a grandmother. I can't sit and watch my grandchildren go to the lake of fire. I can't sit and watch them go into the flames of hell while everybody else in the world is doing what they want to do and handle their business. I have to do what's necessary as a grandparent, and I have to do what's necessary as a grandparent because I love my grandchildren. I love my children, so I have to say what's necessary in those situations in order for a realization. And even if it doesn't come to a realization in that moment, the seed yet still has to be planted. And so we recognize Cain here, and he is in this situation. He's an illegitimate son, but I want you to understand that the word of God is so prophetic in its nature. We're looking at two sons here. One is a son that is a legitimate son who is the seed of God. The other son is an illegitimate son because he is illegally and unlawfully birthed into the world. And he has a spirit that he carries. I'm just going to name some of the spirits that he carries: envy, jealousy, murder, anger, disobedience, hatred, false worship, rebellion, an anger, a serious temper. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is important. Okay, this is important because we need to understand that this is a spirit that Cain carried. He's an illegitimate son, but I want you to also identify this, that Yah was willing to accept him. Go to Genesis chapter 4 and read that in your own time. I don't really have time to take you there, but I want to give you just a couple of highlights. God was willing to accept him just as he left off from Israel to get the rest of those that would love him, that would follow him. He was willing to accept him. He said, all you got to do is correct your behavior. Just repent. Turn from this mindset that you're walking in and repent. And when you repent, I need you to understand that my order is love. You'll find that in 1 John chapter 3. The order is love. Verse 18 starts discussing loving in deed and in truth. You know, lots of people can love in words, and that's one of the things that this digital age has really taken us away from actual contact with people. It's taken us away from direct communication and that kind of thing, because now we're texting. There's nothing wrong with texting. It's a great tool, but when it's overused, it's misused, because really I think communication is for communicating one-to-one. I need to see you. I need to talk to you, and I know telephone was before that, and so that was kind of a disconnection, because if you're only talking on the phone and you're only talking by texting, you're not really communing. You're not really fellowshipping as you need to, although there is an impact that's being made. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So it's important that we understand that we need to love in deed and in truth and not in words. These are digital distractions. We live in an age of digital distractions, and a lot of the children are being raised to be digitally distracted. They don't have real human instinct. They don't have real human interaction. They don't have real skills to interact with people, you know, and all of these things. And so it's important that we get back to the basics concerning our children. It's important that we don't raise Cain. Raising Cain means we're raising those that are envious and jealous. You know, and I look at the things that children look at today, these things that promote them wanting things, this thing that promotes them to be envious of what other people have and to start trying to keep up with the Joneses. They learn early, at an early age, how to keep up with the Joneses. I don't remember that being the way that I raised my children. I didn't raise them to be people that were like, ooh, if they got one, I want one. I didn't raise them to be like, you know, if I bought this one, that one wanted it too, and I needed to do that. That's just not, you know, I see these things in this season, and it's such a sad commentary because we don't know what we're raising. I was listening to a woman of God today tell me a story as I was, you know, I was already mulling over this, and she was sharing with me that there are 12-year-olds on the run right now. I don't know if it's in Virginia because that's where she's located, that are on the run for murder. They took this old man to the park. They wanted to buy weed from him, and they just started shooting. And they're 12 years old, and they're on the run. Do you realize they have not even lived? They haven't lived but 12 years of their life. People, you don't understand what you're raising in this season. You don't understand what you're doing. We need to get a grip, and we need to return back to the things that God has ordained for us to do. I love the word of the Lord because it talks about how Abraham was a righteous man, how God had favored him and how he loved him. And one of the reasons he called him by name and he called him his friend was because he knew that Abraham was not going to be ashamed to talk to his children about who God was. He was not going to be ashamed to promote who God was to his family. He said, I know Abraham. I know him by name, and he's going to command his family after him. I can trust him. I can entrust some things to him because he's going to talk to his children. He's going to talk to his children's children about who I am and make sure that they understand that I am the God that brought them out and the promises and the covenant that I've made. You know, a lot of times we're missing so much, and our children are chasing after so many things because they've lost the value of who God is, and they've lost the identity that they should be walking in to understand that God is a God of provision. He provides everything that we need. My youngest son's name is Jireh, and that means provider. It means provider. I named him that for a purpose. I named him that for a purpose because I wanted him to identify and understand his character. I wanted him to identify and understand who God claimed him to be even when he was in my womb, before he was born. He's a provider. He's a man of provision. Are you listening to what I'm saying? right, guys, forgive us. We had a little bit of technical difficulties there. We're going to come back to this same topic next week. I think it's a really pertinent topic that we cover because we are in this age of digital devils, and it's important that we understand that the devil has many different ways to get to our children. He has many different ways to get to our seed, a lot more ways than what he had when we were younger, lots of different avenues. And so we're going to need to be conscious of our ear gates, our eye gates, what we're seeing, what we're hearing, so that we can be conscious of what's going to come out of that. There is going to be a fruit that comes out of that. And so we've got to be conscious of that. So we're talking about the spirit of Cain. And we're talking about actually the difference between Abel's offering and Cain's offering. Well, we understand that Abel brought to God a one of the lambs of his flock. He was a shepherd and a tiller of the ground. I'm sorry, he was a shepherd. He was a shepherd. And we want to deal with that shepherding part of him. He brought a lamb as an offering, and that meant something that he had sacrificed. And so the difference here was the difference between works versus worship. When we look at what Cain brought, he brought of the fruit of the ground. He didn't bring his best. He just brought of the fruit of the ground. It wasn't about the time that they brought it. It was about the way that they brought it. And what I was talking about a little bit earlier was that even though Cain was illegitimate, he was given an opportunity to get it right. You know, God was going to be okay with what he had brought. He just wanted him to get his heart right, get his mind right, because he was jealous. He was envious. He had issues, and he had hatred, and he was disobedient. I mean, he really had an opportunity. The Word of God says that that the Father told him, listen, if you get yourself together, if you just do right, you won't have to be all messed up. You ain't got to tear your face up and feel no kind of way. If you just do what's right, then you'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? But if you can't follow through and do the right thing, then this is going to be a problem for you. But you have authority over sin. It lays at the door. Now, even though he was an illegitimate son, he was given an opportunity to be right before God. And it's the same way that God deals with us. You know, I want to share this because it's important that we understand that prophetic, and we talk about this on the prophetic roundtable all of the time, is not just the foreknowledge of something, not just what we say, but it's the acts of God. Okay. And so here we have Abel, who has never spoken a word that's prophetic, but he is able to operate in a prophetic manner. You need to understand that he was the man, the first one that knew. He didn't know this necessarily, but it was embedded in him to offer a lamb. That would be a type and a shadow of what was to come. So here he is. You can look in John chapter 1, verse 29, type and shadow of what was to come. We talk about the lamb that was slain, and this was how Jesus, this is who he was. And so this man didn't speak anything prophetic, but his acts were prophetic. This is why the Bible declares him in Luke chapter 11 to be a prophet. You know, as as the Word of God is condemning the religious of that day, which we deal with today, the religious of that day, and how they killed the prophets, how they killed righteous Abel, and how they killed the prophet between the porch and the altar. That is the dichotomy that we're living in right now, where we're dealing with this church age who is full of Cain that hates the ecclesia, that hates the true body. And it's no different than it was in the master's day, no different than it was in the apostle's day or in the prophet's day. It's the same dynamic across the board, that you have those that desire to do the will of God, that are willing to bring the offering that God is desirous of, and those that want to bring what they want and think that God should just accept it. You know what I'm saying? And so this is important. I think we're going to go back over this next week. We only have a few more minutes for the broadcast, and we had that little interruption, and I'm just kind of trying to get back on track, but it's difficult with so much going on in the environment right now. So I'm going to come back to this, and maybe I'm going to come back to this because I really believe that this is an important topic. It's very important that we understand that if it's important for us to guard our ear gates and our eye gates, it should be at the top of your list to guard your children's ear gates and eye gates. That should be a priority, because these devils ain't playing. There are no child devils. I need y'all to understand that before I get off this broadcast. There's no such thing as a child devil. The devil doesn't have any infant devils. You know, when he wants to connect with a child, he's doing some stuff on some real stuff. You understand what I'm saying? This is some stuff on some real stuff. He's serious about what he's doing. When he connects and he makes contact with your son or your daughter, he's making real contact. And we know that the man that was full of legions, he had an issue. And a lot of times when we deal with things, especially pictures or different things like that, there are certain things that are standard that carry a plethora of devilish devices. Are you hearing me? A plethora of things that are devilish. And the enemy is not interested. He is absolutely not interested in playing with us. I really want y'all to understand. I have experienced some things. I have seen some things. I am recognizing very clearly how this devil operates. And this, I mean, this is in an age, the stuff that the enemy was attempting to do to me and my family was in an age when we didn't give our children tablets, and we didn't give them cell phones, and we didn't give them computers, you know, just without supervision. We didn't do that. And the devil was very serious then. So now they are open. They are wide open to whatever the devil wants to do. They are literally sitting on YouTube without supervision. They are literally sitting on cell phones and have access to internet, a grown-up internet with no supervision. And they are watching things that are contaminating their spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So this is a really serious topic for me. It's a very serious topic to me. God has given me a real heart for the young people, for the children. It's something that I've been my whole life. I've always had a compassion and a longing and a yearning to care for young people. It's something that I've been doing since I was a little girl. And so this is really important to me, and I believe that's one of the reasons why the adversary has attacked me so greatly in that arena. He's attacked me so greatly in that area of my life because he understood the potential that I had and what I had to give, what I had to offer. Now what I have to offer is even greater. So, okay, he did a nice try, but he didn't win. Nonetheless, I want us to repent and to return today. We need to get in on our minds. We need to repent and to return from the place that we've been in, from the things that we have considered. We need to repent and return from the mindset and the concepts that the world has had to offer, and get and bring our children back to the basics. Bring them back to the study of the word. Bring them back to the Bible. Bring them back to scripture and what the word of God is and who God is in their lives. I love you so much. Listen, we'll see you on Monday. Matter of fact, we'll see you tomorrow on Torah Today at 12 o'clock. We'll be here and we'll look for you. We love you so much. Peace to your household.